if somebody is entertaining you while they're educating you, it's going to perform way better. It's going to stick better too. It's going to reach more hearts and minds if you do it with a sense of humor.
I'm your host, Dave Knox, and this is Predicting the Turn, a show that helps business leaders meet their industry's inevitable disruption head on. Welcome to another episode of Predicting the Turn. Today, we sit down with J.W. Wiseman, who is the founder of Curious Elixirs. J.W., welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
I want to start with the fact that you're coming up on your 10-year business anniversary with Curious Elixirs. What led you to launch the business in the first place?
The short answer is drinking too damn much. That's really how it started. While I was working at the digital media company Thrillist, I was out with the editors for a birthday one night and I had 20 drinks in one night. And the next day, I didn't even have a hangover. And that is really what started me down the path to starting the first craft non-alcoholic cocktail company, because I was a big cocktail nerd for a bunch of years. Like in my years as the head of marketing for Thrillist, I love going out and getting cocktails, whether it's a Negroni or a Blood and Sand or anything innovative that people were coming up with. But I was just a little bit too deep in the well. And as I started to change my relationship with alcohol, I couldn't find anything adult to drink. That's really how Curious started, just tinkering in my kitchen and then slowly realizing, wow, there might really be a business here.
And how did you go from that tinkering in the home kitchen, as you mentioned, to figuring out how do you find somebody to bottle this thing up and tweak the formulas and do all the thing that takes that hobby into up the professional business it is today?
It was a bit of a slow burn, Dave. It started, as I mentioned, just like mixing up different things in my kitchen, trying to figure out, oh, how can I make a non-alcoholic Negroni? How could I make a Dark and Stormy that doesn't have booze in it? And then I started taking my creations to different parties. At the time, I had opened a whiskey bar in North Brooklyn with my brother and some partners. And then we also opened a 12-room hotel in Rockaway Beach. And at the opening party of Playland Motel, which is what the hotel was called, I put out a giant carafe, like a giant jug that was labeled Curious Elixir Number One. And what I found was that people didn't know that it didn't have alcohol in it. And they just kept drinking that and that way more than like the mezcal that was sitting on the bar or any of the other cocktails. And so I thought to myself, people are just drinking this because it's delicious. That was the aha moment for me saying like, whoa, this might have a much bigger audience than just me and those friends of mine that aren't drinking or are starting to drink less. And that's really what started me down the path of like, okay, maybe I need to consider doing a Kickstarter. Maybe I need to consider finding a commercial kitchen to make this in. Maybe I need to research how big this addressable market actually is. And when I did, it was staggering to me. The numbers that come from over 10 years ago now were telling me that 75 million adult Americans don't drink alcohol at all. And that another 90 million adult Americans have two or fewer alcoholic drinks a week. Again, these are numbers from over a decade ago. Those numbers have just increased since then. There wasn't even the term sober curious when we started Curious Elixirs. That didn't come till 2018. And so the process was slow at first. It took a couple of years for me to start to put the pieces together of, wow, this should really be a business and this is a huge opportunity. And it really wasn't until I saw Martha Stewart speaking in 2015 that I really decided to get off my ass and turn this into a real business.
Going back to that early day when you put that craft of Curious Elixir Number One out there on the bar top, how has the formula changed since then? Like, did that original one have any of the adaptogens or any of the things that you're really known for today?
There were herbal functional herbs in there in Curious Elixir Number One. And that was something that after I had left Thrillist and I started my own marketing company to help growth stage clean food companies, one of my clients was Daily Harvest. And that was really when I started to see that adaptogens and functional herbs were really powerful and that they can help the body more. That was like what opened my eyes was seeing, wow, there's really a market for these remedies. And these are really herbs that have a long history of traditional usage in various cultures. And the one that jumped out at me the most was Rhodiola rosea. And Rhodiola rosea has a multi-thousand year history. The first reference to it is back in 77. And what's amazing about it is that it can help balance your cortisol, the pain molecule. It can also help your absorption of serotonin and dopamine. And it has a few different effects on the body. Adaptogens were built into Curious Elixirs from day one. That's something that I felt could be like the secret mission of Curious Elixirs, like be flavor first. And then as the market starts to catch up, we can come out and start talking more and more about the functions and how these different adaptogens can support your body. And that's really what we're known for more and more over time. But when it first started, we were just focused on making the best possible drinks that have depth, complexity, and sophistication, something that will really appeal to beverage directors, sommeliers, and aficionados across America.
And with that, it's always this balance when you're at the early leading edge of these industry trends. How did you balance the education about both this is in the non-alcoholic space, but then also the use, the safety, the everything else about adaptogens that went into it?
For the first 5 years, we really put the adaptogens as very secondary, almost tertiary messaging, because it was like being vegan 30 years ago. People didn't know what it meant. And still, people don't quite know what adaptogens are. So in terms of balance, we went heavy on flavor first for the first 5 years. And that's why we were getting picked up by Daniel Boulud restaurants and Alinea in Chicago and some of these world-class establishments, is because we're focused on doing the world's best version of non-alcoholic drinks, something that had never been done before. It was only really in the last, honestly, 2 or 3 years, kind of 2020 and beyond, where people started to figure out like, oh, no, there's a whole class of plants that can help my body get a boost or can help my adrenal system be less fatigued. And that's really when things started to pick up in the adaptogen space. Now you're seeing so much progress happening around things like lion's mane, which is in our most recent elixir, Curious Zero, which is our lion's mane lager. And so there's a lot of these ingredients that are starting to have a moment, but it's been years building up to these moments.
Speaking of kind of those moments over the years, you come from this amazing background on the marketing side, working with brands like Daily Harvest, as you mentioned, but also some of the trendsetters like Thrillist over the years. How has that marketing background influenced the branding choices and the marketing and everything else that has gone into Curious Elixirs?
To take the Thrillist example, we always talked about the voice of Thrillist being like as if Han Solo were your friend telling you about the coolest spot in a neighborhood that's next to yours. And it's like you want to have this cool older brother or this friend who is a little bit more in the know than you, but always does it with, you know, kind of a fun and whimsical style. If somebody is entertaining you while they're educating you, it's going to perform way better. It's going to stick better too. It's going to reach more hearts and minds if you do it with a sense of humor. And that's really what we took to heart. When we first launching our Kickstarter, we did a Game of Thrones spoof for our video, and it ended up getting viewed over 6 million times on Facebook. And that was huge for us at the time, just breaking through the clutter. And again, this is many years ago. It was when video is still relatively new to that platform. But I think that taking an eye and a voice from comedy is so helpful when you're trying to break through the clutter. And that's something that, you know, from a marketing perspective, we've always had baked into the brand.
I want to talk a little bit about the funding side. You mentioned you started with Kickstarter. How have you approached your funding journey as you've grown this business over the last decade?
Because we were so early, and because this is a segment of the beverage industry that literally did not exist before Curious started, we decided to not take any outside capital. We decided to do this all ourselves. And we did it on Kickstarter just to break through the noise a little bit and have a time-boxed campaign that could get us our first 500 buyers, our first 500 customers, and to get our first press, our first validation. So again, because it was so early, we didn't need to raise a ton of money in order to get started. And because we're making something that is like a luxury item, like something that is at the high end of what is now developed into like a real segment of the beverage industry, we've just been running it off of cash flow ever since. The profits have just been getting reinvested to help grow the team, to help grow distribution, to help line up multiple warehouses across the country, to help cut our costs of goods over time, and to keep refining our recipes, which we never stop doing, by the way. Just because something tastes great, it can always be a little bit better. So we're always, just like with business practices or marketing, we do the same thing with our drinks. We're never stopping making them better and better over time.
Talent is a big part of predicting the turn. And as we talk about talent, I wanted to mention one of our sponsors, Hunt Club. Imagine the power of the best marketers in the world helping you to find your next marketing leader. That's the power of Hunt Club. Hunt Club is a new category of talent company that powers the network of experts, connectors, and business leaders to help you find the best talent. Let's face it, recruiting hasn't changed with the times. Hunt Club is changing the recruiting game by leveraging technology and crowdsourced referrals to find you the best people possible for your company. Stop paying job boards that don't work or recruiting firms that recycle the same active candidates. Partner with Hunt Club.
When you think about your distribution strategy, you know, a lot of brands obviously go straight to retail. They go to big retailers, try and figure out placement. You've taken a slightly different approach. What's led to your choices, how you thought about distribution and driving both consumption and awareness of the brand?
A lot of this comes from like the Warren Buffett school of look at what everybody else is doing and do the opposite. Well, that's baked into what Curious Elixirs is. Everybody was like, oh, launching a celebrity tequila or yada yada and doing it retail first. We decided to direct to consumer first, because the feeling was we're going to build this army of ambassadors across the country, and we're going to figure out where we should distribute based on the highest quality customers coming out. So once we knew that, wow, we've got a ton of great customers in Michigan, wow, we should have a distributor there. Okay. But we started with direct to consumer also because it's what I knew. In my time at Thrillist, I was also the head of marketing for Jack Threads, which is an e-commerce clothing company. And so I had learned how to do e-commerce and how to do direct-to-consumer marketing strategies and do it at scale, taking Jack Threads from a couple million bucks to $55 million in annual revenue. So it's also something that was leaning into my strengths. So that was a big part of it as well. Also, because when you look at going a retail-first strategy, you need a ton of capital. If I was going to do this in the early days, without having raised any money, we needed to do something that was capital light. We needed to do something that we could sell all the product that we have, reinvest it into the next production run, and keep going and doing that for years so that we could also keep refining our practices and make things a little bit more and more efficient over time. Now we're finally in a place where we're moving beyond the self-distribution that we've done for Curious Elixirs for 10 years. We've gotten to a few thousand doors across the country that are selling Curious, but to get from 2,000 to 20,000 to 50,000 retailers, we're going to need the help of the best in the business, the best distributors out there. And that's a big part of the current chapter of Curious. And definitely the next few chapters is going to be continuing to work with best-in-class distributors who care about craft, who care about serving their customers well, and to understand that this is a growing segment that is not going away. This is not a fad. This is a seismic shift in how we consume beverages.
When you think about that current distribution footprint, are there any places that you're most proud of that you've been able to get in, or that will be kind of most surprising to folks that they can find the brand there?
Some of the ones that have just come to us, like the Alinea one in Chicago, that was like, they reached out to us. We were like, wow, the French Laundry, within the first couple of years of Curious existing, one of their sommeliers got targeted by an Instagram ad of ours, and they ended up becoming a wholesale client. But those are some of the things that have surprised us. Another one where people are coming just inbound to us would be like the Four Seasons on Oahu. This isn't something where we had like a broker going out and trying to pitch like a high-end hotel. It was somebody coming to us. And I think that's because we've been focused on making the world's best booze-free beverages, and that the reviews speak for themselves. The fact that we've been named best non-alcoholic drinks 5 years in a row by the New York Times, or that we're the official non-alcoholic partner of the James Beard Awards, the James Beard Foundation. Those are the sorts of things that start attracting more of these kind of like, wow, I can't believe we're carried there moments. And those are some of the ones that have been really surprising to me. But also it's really like the small ones too. It's not just the ones that are like the big marquee names, but the places like, you know, a local winery in Asheville, North Carolina, places like that, where it's also like they really care about craft, and maybe they're not like a buzzworthy name, but the fact that that Curious does really well there just like really warms my heart, because that's what our mission is. Our mission is to transform how we drink socially. And when you're like your local craft brewery or winery is carrying Curious so that they have an inclusive drink menu for all of the people who are out hanging with their friends but don't want to have alcohol, that's how we're changing culture. And that's really what strikes me when we have these little wins. And the more little wins we have, the more we change culture.
On the note of changing that culture, you have a big marketing and social media presence. And a lot of that is really built around this concept of curiosity and mystery. Why have those two things really been at the heart of the marketing strategy that you have for the business?
Because that's where it all started. Curious Elixirs started because I started with the question of, what would it look like if I wanted a high-class drink, but without the alcohol? It started with that question. And then it started with the other question, what if that drink that I'm making could actually make my body feel better than feeling like crap the next day? Questions is what leads us down the path of progress. And that's really why it needed to be baked in, because it was baked in from the start.
So what, you know, with it being baked in from the start and kind of what you've been going after, what's been some of the more creative ways that you've brought that to life and illustrated that for consumers?
Oh, super fun stuff. Like whenever we launch a new flavor, for example, we always have a mystery pre-sale, meaning that we announce what the number is of the next one, which it's pretty clear that we've been doing this for 10 years because we have Curious 1 through 9 and now Curious 0 for our 10th elixir. And that mystery presale launches without any hints as to what the flavor is going to be, but just a little bit of education on what the function is going to be. In the case of Curious 0, we said, here's a mystery presale. This is going to lift your libido and it's going to boost your brain with the adaptogens that are in it. So with maca root, that's what's lifting your libido, and lion's mane mushrooms is going to boost your brain. And so we launched that mystery presale, and our diehard fans can't get enough of it. They love to have like an unboxing moment where they don't know quite what they're going to get. And that's been super fun. The other thing that's been fun and very curious has been the Great Curious Cocktail Party. This is the third year that we're doing it. This is coming up May 14th, 2025. And we throw 100 parties in 100 cities all on one night. It is a constellation of celebrations across the nation. It is wild to see the creativity that these party hosts have. We basically put out a call and say, hey, we're going to be throwing this big party. We want you to be a host in your town. Whether it's 5 people or 50 people, just tell us what you want to do. And so we've had everything from bonfires on the beach in San Diego to speed dating in Buckhead in Atlanta, Georgia, to folk and singer-songwriters in a backyard concert in Nashville. We've had Bollywood movie nights. We've had comedy nights. We've had ballroom dancing. People are coming up with all the different ways to celebrate as to like what being curious means to them. And we all get to host our own little party in the heart of Brooklyn at Club Curious, which is our little sober speakeasy in Williamsburg. And we get to have a toast across the country with over 100 parties going on at the same time where everybody's just toasting being alive and celebrating because life is more interesting when you have less booze and more creativity.
And with the Great Curious Cocktail Party, how's that work? They submit their ideas, and then what's the brand's involvement at that point other than marketing and promoting?
Yeah, so we approve. We had about 400 people apply to be party hosts. We approved, our marketing team approved a little bit more than 100 of them, along with over 50 retailers. So we're actually going to have 150 parties going this year. Then we send them a party pack with curious fans, like hand fans, and along with some other party materials and 4 cases of curious elixirs to have at their party. So we're providing the drinks, they provide the people, and we even have like a Spotify playlist, and we're going to be doing a live stream at 9 p.m. Eastern time on May 14th. So basically, it's a lot of coordination from the marketing team and the wholesale team working with retailers. And then we just have help them. We even have a webinar on like how to throw a great curious cocktail party, which is going to be going down tomorrow, so that we can just help people understand how to serve them. And honestly, like curious elixirs are very easy to serve. You just got to flip it before you sip it to remix the ingredients. And then there are ones that you pour over ice. And other than that, you just garnish with abandon. You just add whatever garnish you like, whatever you think is going to taste good to you. And we have some suggestions on that, of course, but we like to encourage people to tinker. You know, that's one of the things that is fun in life is to try things how they were intended and then maybe mess with it a little bit, tinker with it. That's how this all started too, is me just tinkering. And I think that it's important for people to know that it's okay for them to tinker too.
You mentioned earlier that the brand has had enormous success in terms of being recognized in New York Times as best tasting and other kind of recognition. The category has changed a ton over the last 10 years with a lot of new competitors, a lot of new takes on it. How have you been able to stay at that edge of brand awareness and being that first choice for your consumers in the face of this really changing category?
We just really focused on what we're doing. I think it's great that so many new non-alcoholic beverages have come out, and because it really helps to validate for everybody that this is something that should exist. There should be a huge number of quality non-alcoholic options out there for people who aren't drinking alcohol. And, you know, how we have separated ourselves, because if you rewind a dozen years ago, I'm not a fortune teller or anything, but I knew this would work. I knew that making curious would help change the beverage culture. And then if you fast forward and take that to its logical extreme, that means that there's going to be hundreds and hundreds of different options. So if you are focused on just making the best of the specific thing that it is, that you don't have any competition, you're just focused on yourself and focused on your customers. And that's the other part that kind of dovetails with why we don't have investors. We're only accountable to our customers. So I read every review that comes in, the good ones, the bad ones, and the in-between. And so listening to your customers so that you can help make them as good as they possibly can be while balancing things like sugar content. This is one of the key things I've learned from our customers over the years is they don't want a lot of sugar. They want a delicious flavor. But people who are looking for beverages that are going to help them live a healthier life, they tend to be more like a Whole 30 kind of crowd, at least for your early adopters. And so we've found ways to balance the natural fruit that we have in there with things that are bitter, things that are herbaceous. And we're just obsessed with quality. No other brand out there I can think of is getting blood oranges from Sicily and turning that into a spritz. We're obsessed with doing that. And it's part of the reason why you see our numbering system too. Curious 0 through 9. It's something where you have to lean in a little bit in order to be in on what we're doing and to understand what we're doing. And it's also a nod to cocktail culture with famous drinks like Corpse Reviver No. 1 or Pimm's No. 1. So it's a little bit of a nod to the history of brewing and fermentation and distillation and mixology that has come before us, because I've been inspired by countless different bar professionals over the years. And I wanted to have a little bit of an homage to them. And that's part of the reason why we have our numbering system for Curious. So when it comes to the non-alcoholic sector at large, we're just focused on making the world's best booze-free beverages. And we think that it's great that a lot of other players have come into the space. The one thing I would caution is that just because it's non-alcoholic doesn't mean that it's good for you. And there's so many companies that have come out saying like that they're good if they're healthy while using carcinogens and preservatives and things that are big no-nos. So be sure to read your labels. I know it takes a little bit longer and you have to do some of your research, but that's something that's really important as the non-alcoholic industry continues to evolve and grow, is for people to look a little bit deeper, look below the surface, because we're obsessed with it. We're obsessed with making things high quality, not using preservatives or natural flavors or any of that shady stuff.
The business is 10 years in now. You mentioned you just released Formula Zero, so you hit your number 10. Where's the business go from here? What you think about the next 10 years of innovations with flavor and distribution and everything else?
Definitely think that there will be a lot more innovation in the non-alcoholic sector. I think that people are going to become ever more curious about how they feel after drinking something and what supports their body and what doesn't. And for Curious Elixirs specifically, I think you're going to start to see us in more and more restaurants and more performance venues and more and more regions. But then I can't predict what the next 10 years are going to be like exactly, but I do know that it's getting easier and easier for Curious to get on the shelf and behind the bar. And I think that bartenders are really waking up to it. Restaurateurs are really waking up to the fact that they can make more money by serving the most followed brand and non-alcoholic. And that's really going to continue to change. It's got a bit of a gravitational pull now. And I think that's going to continue helping us and helping to transform our drinking culture as the years go by.
I love it. That is a great place to bring the conversation to a close. So I appreciate you taking time to share more about the journey that you've been on with Curious Elixirs and what's ahead for you.
Thank you so much, Dave. Great talking with you.
Thanks so much for listening. If you like the show, hit that rating and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And for more resources, head over to predictingtheturn.com.